to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, 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 folks, it is approaching mid-October in the final quarter of the year 2009, and we're about to close out the first decade of the new millennium. The ride has not been boring. We've had drama, terror, panic, some prosperity, more panic, and many tears. And now, great fear in so many people. Some of you that are listening have already been bruised tremendously in the last year or two. There are many theories of why this world's in a mess, but right now, folks, you don't need theories. You want some answers. And in this broadcast, I'm going to give you some information. My friends, this is going to be a very, very special program. I want you to please know that the Holy Spirit of God is my heavenly choreographer, because He leads my steps and He gives me things to share. Sometimes He directs me to teach, and sometimes I preach, like in the last two audios. And by the way, the response from many of you about the last two audios has been tremendous. Many of you are reporting that those audios helped you to repent. Many of you were touched by them. And brethren, I want you to know that I am very thankful to God for that. For those of you that have not listened to the last two, number 138 and 139, I invite you to go to my website at watchmanscry.com and go to the audio page, and you can download those last two sermons. If some of you have been struggling with faith in God or with doubt or where you are in your salvation, please go listen to those, and I really believe that God's going to touch you. Now, in addition to teaching and preaching, sometimes the Holy Spirit directs me to warn and to give a prophetic word. And you know, my friends, God is very compassionate, and God loves you, and right now, God is also on the move. And in this audio message, I'm going to reveal some things that are approaching. I'm going to share some things that God has shown me. So in the next hour, brethren, I'm going to give you a very, very serious warning message. And I need to ask this favor of you. I need your undivided attention as I share it, because this message is going to be very solemn. And I ask that you listen to it. And after you listen to what I have to say here, please go pray about what you hear. Get God's confirmation about the things that I say. And then I ask you to also do this. Please share this message with your loved ones and your friends. If you can, give it to your pastor and give it to people at your church, as many people as possible. You have my permission to put it on your website, to burn copies, because if you want to know what's coming, I'm going to share some things with you, brethren, and the people need to hear these things. There are a lot of people that are still asleep right this very minute. You have friends and loved ones that are asleep. Just ask them to listen to this, and hopefully God will stir them and wake them up. Hopefully they will begin to see things from a different perspective from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what's this message about? Well, this message is a prophetic warning to the land of America and to the world. And this warning is about events that are coming to your town, my friends. Now, before I get too far into the program, I want to give this quick announcement. If you've heard my last several messages, you have heard me talk about the contingency plan in the event that the internet goes down. If the administration were to turn off the internet, or if for some reason the internet were to block Christian websites and you were no longer able to hear my messages, I want to plan beforehand for that situation. So what I'm doing, folks, is I have a link on my website at watchmanscry.com, and you can click that and email me your physical address, because in the event the internet goes down, I will contact you and send you physical newsletters and sermons on CD, just like it used to be done in the 1970s before the internet existed. Okay, folks? So if you really like these messages and you don't want to be left out if the internet was down, then please do this. Your address is totally safe with me. I'm just keeping it in a file in the file cabinet. All right, folks? Also, I want to say this. If you appreciate these messages And if you appreciate that God is really moving through these messages, through this ministry, brethren, please pray about supporting us, because we can't do this without you. I know that times are very tough, and if for some reason you are not able to do that, then I covet your prayers, brethren. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, and the town is two words, Priest River, Idaho, and the zip is 83856. Well, now that that's out of the way, let's get started, brethren. Now, I want to give you a quick background on how this message came about that I'm about to share. This message has been brewing in my heart. It's been incubating in my heart for several months now. Now, since I moved to Idaho in the last couple of months, I have been having incredible times with God where I am right now. I have been able to seek Him for many, many hours a day, sometimes 2 to 3 hours at a time. And I've been asking and seeking God for insight and understanding on the season that we are in right now. Because, my friends, we're not in a regular cycle of time. This world is at a cliff, and many people need direction, and many people need to be awakened. Many people don't realize that they're in a moving vehicle, and that that vehicle is approaching a drop-off, a cliff. Now, regarding the message that I'm going to share in this audio, I had a prophetic dream about 7 months ago. And when I had that dream, I needed to understand it, so I have been praying for months and months to understand this dream. I've been asking God to help me understand it. And I've also been asking God, when do I share it? Because I didn't have all the pieces 7 months ago. But this dream tells about events that are going to come here to America. So, in the last 2 months, since I arrived in Idaho, and as I have been seeking God for answers about this matter, He gave me 2 more dreams that helped me to understand what is coming. And these dreams correlate and have given me more detail. So in this program, I'm going to share all of these prophetic things with you. Now, those of you that listen to the news, you know that the recession has been declared to be over. The news correspondents and the experts say so. The White House says so. Recovery is here. But brethren, according to what I am hearing from the Holy Spirit, and according to what I have seen in visions and in dreams and in prayer, more things are coming. And not just things, horrible things. Now, one rule of prophecy that handicaps all of us while we are here in this earthly vessel, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, what does that mean? What it means is, even though we have a prophetic dream, or if God gives us a vision or a word, we don't see the whole picture. God spreads it around to several people. And this is a good thing, because this prevents people from becoming puffed up and prideful. And this is also why it is very important to seek God about a prophetic word, and also to get confirmation from others that are mature and seasoned in their relationship with God. And folks, that's what I have been doing with these dreams that I have. I've had them for a while, and I've sought God a lot, and I have sought counsel from other believers. Now, right now, where we are in time, we are in a season of judgment. And when I say we, I'm talking about the entire world. Those of you in Europe, in Australia, Canada, and America, we are all in a season of judgment. And this season is going to last for several years. At this point in time, I'm expecting the depression in America to last for at least 5 to 10 to maybe even 15 years, maybe more. Now, there's going to be a lot of different categories of judgment that's going to strike the land. Over the past several months, I have talked about the various categories. I've talked about the fourfold judgment. And God is also using His voices, other people that He is pouring out His Spirit on and giving prophetic dreams and visions and insight. They're also announcing judgment. And some people are seeing pestilence happen. Some of them are seeing earth changes that are coming. Some are warning about famine, about war, about an invasion. So God is showing His church and His body through a lot of His vessels that judgment is upon the land and what is coming. And I'm one of those voices, folks. Now, I want to be very clear with you. I do not take sharing these things lightly. I fear the Lord God Almighty. And I do not want to be any part of leading anyone astray or giving false words or false visions. And that's why I have held on to this particular prophetic dream for 7 months. But now I feel released to share it with all of you. And not only do I have a release, but I also have alarm bells going off inside of me to share it. It must be done, folks. I must share this warning. Why? Because you need to take these matters more serious than you have been taking them. And that's another thing that God has been showing me. In addition to the warning message, God has revealed to me that many, many people that call themselves part of the remnant are on the fence with their preparation. Too many people are just observing from the sidelines. And too many people have not acted on their own behalf or on the behalf of their families yet. And the clock is ticking, my friends. I know that there are several reasons that some of you have not prepared. Some of you are either thinking, I have more time, or some of you might have actually given up because you think that time has run out, so you don't think there's any more time to prepare. So if you might find yourself in any of those two camps, there's one thing that you have in common. You're doing nothing. And my friends, the hour is going to arrive when no man can prepare any longer. So as long as God delays, folks, please get to work. And I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I've asked God, God, please let the people that listen to this message be stirred and shaken. Let them have a new desire and a new zeal to prepare and to get their house in order. Folks, I have put many, many hours of prayer into this message. And that is one of the reasons that this message is actually delayed right now. I wanted to get it out several days ago, but I just had to put a lot of prayer into it. So I'm going to be sharing the warning about what's coming. I have not taken these words lightly. By the way, side note, this warning that I'm about to share is not about a terrorist attack with explosions. It has to do with the economy and what is going to happen to the economy. And it has to do with millions of lives that are going to be affected by what's coming. And I'm going to give you some details of what to expect. And it is not, I repeat, it is not going to be pretty. Now, did you notice the title of this message? I don't know if that title can really justify how bad it's going to be, folks. Lament. Now again, brethren, please pray about what you hear in this audio, and perhaps something that I say will confirm what you have also been hearing or seeing in the Spirit. Perhaps after you hear about my prophetic dream and the visions that I've had, perhaps you've had similar ones. And if so, go ahead and email me and write me and share them. I would really appreciate this because God is using the entire body to paint this picture so that we can all be prepared and know what is coming. Before I get started, please get a pen and paper, notepad, and take notes. Also, please get your Bible. If you're home, that is, if you're driving, then just listen. But when you get home, please get your Bible and listen to the program again and look at the verses that I'm going to share. Because these verses need to be burned into you to get an idea of what God is trying to say in this hour. Now, approximately 7 months ago, God gave me a dream. After I had that dream, I have been seeking Him and seeking Him. And finally, He has revealed to me what these things mean. And this is what the dream revealed. The United States dollar is going to crash. Over the next several months, there's going to be more and more news that the world no longer wants the dollar as a reserve currency. And there are going to be incremental steps of deterioration on the dollar's value in the months ahead. The dollar may look steady for a time. It may flow smoothly, but then it'll take a few steps down in value and then flow smoothly and then take more steps down in value. And this is going to continue here and there, even into next year, the year 2010. And then, this is what God revealed to me, brethren. Behind closed doors, a secret meeting is going to take place in the future. Now, who will be at that meeting? The elite of the world. I don't know exactly, but I believe it is the elite of the world. Bankers, the thugs that control the money. Perhaps included will be leaders of other countries. Perhaps members of the G8 or the G20. Perhaps it will be the Bilderbergs or members of the Council on Foreign Relations, but a meeting is going to take place in the future. And at this meeting, they are going to decide to abandon the dollar. And it will be decided that they are going to pull the rug out from under the dollar at the meeting. Now, when they decide this, this part I do not know, but I do not think that this announcement is going to be made on TV or the newspapers. And since I do not have every detail of this meeting, based on how they have acted in the past, I believe this meeting is going to be secret. Now, here is when they're going to do this behind the scenes. So folks, please listen carefully. This is what I heard in my dream. I heard the words, after the middle of August in the year 2010, that's when they're going to do this. Now, I'm going to pause for a second while you think about that. Again, folks, after the middle of August in the year 2010, they're going to make the decision to abandon the dollar. Now, when they make the decision to do this to the dollar, here's what I do not know. Will they do it over time? Will it take several months or even several years to do this? That part I do not know. Again, folks, I don't know if it's going to be advertised on TV or in papers when they do this. Because if they did, I would be very surprised. Because the New World Order does not advertise what they're going to do to the little people, to the minions of the earth. So I have wondered if they will allow the demise to happen by the end of next year, 2010. I've been wondering that, folks. Or will they stretch it out into 2011 or 2012? Again, folks, that part I do not know. So in a way, this dream does not have all the details about how long this is going to take to happen. But the main point of this dream is that it will be decided that the dollar is going to be no more in the world. They're going to be done with it. Now, for those of you that are thinking, Nathan, if this event is not going to be reported, then how do we know it's real? And that's a fair question to all of you listening. And here's the answer. You can't. But let me say this, brethren. I'm not making this up. And I ask you to please hold your peace and listen to the confirmation dreams that I also received about this matter, which I'm about to share. Now, again, brethren, I have not taken this thing lightly. I have literally travailed over this, which I will also be explaining in the next few moments. Now, you might be wondering, why are you travailing over the dollar being done away with, Nathan? It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. How many of you are thinking that? This is why I have travailed, folks. Because when this happens, it's going to cause a chain of events in this world. It's going to cause things that are coming to this world that are going to be horrible. And when I say horrible, folks, I don't think that word justifies how bad it's going to be. And I'm going to share some of those things. Nathan, how do you know it's going to be that bad? Because I asked God. I said, God, if this collapse of the dollar is upon us, how bad is it going to be? Is it going to just be a little dip in the road? You know, folks, most people don't worry or wonder about these things. And this is how God answered, with two more dreams to show me what's coming. After I moved here to Idaho, it was about the middle of August when I had this first dream to confirm. And by the way, now that I'm saying that, it was approximately August 15th or thereabouts when I had this first dream, which is almost a year in advance of when this event's going to happen. Now, in this dream, when the dream started, I found myself in a shopping mall. And in the dream, I was hungry. I remember my stomach rumbling. So in the dream, I thought to myself, I want to find something to eat. And if I'm in a mall, well, the place to eat in a mall is the food court. We all know that. So that's what I did. I walked to the food court of this mall. And when I got to the food court, this is what was very interesting. There were many restaurants with their presence there in the food court, but I don't remember any of the other restaurants being open. Even their signs, their neon signs, were off. But there was one restaurant in the food court that was on. And this is the odd part of this dream. It was very busy, and there were a lot of people in line at this particular restaurant. And when I saw the name of the storefront food court, and you know how restaurants and food courts are not very wide. They're like 20 feet wide, and there's usually one person that you give an order to, and then they give it to you, and you go sit down on tables in the food court. Well, that's how it was, but the line was very long. So when I saw the sign of the restaurant in the food court, it said school cafeteria on the sign in neon lights. And I thought to myself, well, that's odd. The school has put their own little business in the mall? Interesting. Now, I don't remember if it was the high school cafeteria or if it was the middle school, junior high cafeteria. It just said school cafeteria. So I got in line, and finally, when it was my turn, I asked for the special. The lady scooped some mashed potatoes, and then she placed some green beans, and there was only like 8 or 9 of them, not very many green beans. And then she put this wedge of a chicken breast that was just about 3 inches square. It wasn't big at all. So I looked down at it, and I thought to myself, well, that's typical. It's school food, but hey, what do you do? So she gave it to me, and then I went to pay at the cashier. When I got to the cashier, she rang me up, and then she told me, that will be $30. When I heard her say $30, my eyebrows went up in the dream, and I remember being shocked, and I remember being angry. And I told her, $30? Are you nuts? I'm not paying $30 for this. And I remember protesting. This is crazy. This is too expensive. But the people that were in line looked at me like, hey, buddy, what's your problem? That's what it costs. Be happy. So I said, in the dream, I'm not paying this. So I walked away from the food. And I stormed out of the mall. And when I got to the door of the mall and stepped out of the mall disappeared from behind me. And in front of me, a sidewalk appeared. And there was grass on both sides. And the sidewalk was about 40 feet long. And there was a new restaurant that appeared at the end of the sidewalk. And there was a man standing outside of the restaurant. He was a waiter in that restaurant, and he had a menu in his hand. And he was showing everybody the menu of the restaurant as they walked by. And I noticed that the restaurant was a Chinese restaurant. I immediately noticed that. So I told myself, I'm not going to eat that expensive food at the mall. I'll go eat at this restaurant. I'm sure their prices are better. So I walked up to the man who had the menu. But before I arrived at him, I decided that I didn't want to eat anymore. I just wanted a cup of coffee. So I asked him, how much is a cup of coffee? A plain cup of coffee, not latte, no marshmallows, nothing fancy, just coffee. So he grinned at me and he said, well, look at the menu. So I looked down at the menu and it said coffee, $10. I looked back up at him and I was again shocked because to me, $10 for a cup of coffee is insane. And then the dream was over. Well, after I had that dream in mid-August, I just filed it away and I started seeking God about it, but it was just filed away and I didn't really think about it. And I did not think about it a lot until just recently because I had a second dream. And before I mention the second dream, let me tell you what God has revealed to me about this first dream, about the shopping mall school cafeteria. Now, number one, the only food that was available in this dream was supplied by the government. They took over a shopping mall in order to feed people. And the prices that they were charging to people was very high, $30. After I had that dream, I asked some people that know how much school lunches cost, and I was told that a school lunch is between $2 and $3 right now. So that would mean that the price of a school lunch went up 10 times. That's 10 times, folks. 1,000% food is going to go up that high. But the other thing that was interesting to me was that the people were happy to get the food. The price didn't bother them. They were just happy to eat. So those are several points about the school cafeteria. Another point and another thing that I noticed was when I left the shopping mall, the restaurant that was providing food was a Chinese restaurant. Or in other words, China is supplying food for us, expensive food, and they were happy to do it. So the Chinese were willing to give me a drink of coffee for a very high price, $10, which if a cup of coffee today costs $1 or $2, that's a 500% increase also. That's inflation, folks. So China is going to play an important role in the crash of the dollar, in the collapse of the dollar. They are not out of the picture. Now, as I said, I pondered these dreams. I told my wife about them, and then I filed them away. Well, the second dream that I have that really brought all of this together occurred about 2 weeks ago. And folks, I really believe that if God gives you a second dream on the same topic, then that's a very good indicator that he's confirming something. And after I took the matter to him in many hours and hours of prayer, he did confirm to me that yes, it was him showing confirmation. Now, the second dream that I had began, and again I was hungry. And I found myself this time inside of a school cafeteria. Now, I don't know if it was a high school or a middle school, but I was in a school cafeteria and I was hungry. So, in the dream I told myself, I want food, and I hope they're not about to close. So I ran to get in line, and I asked the lady that worked there, are you guys still open? And she said, yes, we are. But the special that we have right now is for groups of 5 people. And as I looked at all the people that were in line, there were no children there. There were no teenagers there. It was all grown-ups. I remember I saw a prostitute that was in line. I saw a man that looked dirty, like he had been working outside. He had dirt all over him. I saw another person that was burly, and he looked to have grease on him, like he had been working on cars. So the people in line to eat were typical of what used to be middle-class America, including a prostitute, and they were all adults. Now, when she said the special is for groups of 5 people, I said, well, how much is the special? And she said, well, it is Thanksgiving dinner, so the special right now is 5 for $99. And again, when I heard her say 5 for $99, I did the math real quickly in my dream, and I said, that's $20 a person. And the lady answered, that's right, and to get it for that price, there has to be 5 of you in your group. So I imagine that the regular price for just one person was even higher. And then the dream was over. After I had the second dream, brethren, I knew that God was trying to say something. And at this point, this is what I have come up with an interpretation. Again, the government was feeding the public, and they were using school cafeterias to do it. Now, the question is, why were they doing that? Why was there even a need to use the government or the school cafeterias to feed people? So I've asked these questions, and I don't have all these answers, folks, but what I am wondering to myself is, will food be so scarce in what's coming that restaurants are going to be closed? They're going to be out of business? And the only way that people can eat is to actually go to what the government provides? Bread lines? Soup kitchens? Because that's basically what was going on here. The school cafeteria was a soup kitchen, but they were serving Thanksgiving dinner, but the people still had to pay for it. So I'm also wondering, will the future collapse of the dollar cause food to actually be unaffordable? Also, I noticed that it was Thanksgiving dinner that they were serving. So does this correlate with next year, 2010, Thanksgiving? Or will it happen in 2011 or 2012 when there will be government soup kitchens to feed the public? See, those things I don't know, brethren. But I will say this. If the crash happens fast, and if next year the dollar just starts toppling faster than they're able to even control, then that could possibly mean that next Thanksgiving we could really be in trouble. Now, again, folks, that part I do not know, and I don't want to forecast that by next Thanksgiving, the only place to get a Thanksgiving meal will be in a soup kitchen. I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering that. But let's say that were true. If it were true, does that mean that this year, 2009, will be the last affordable Thanksgiving year for Americans? I don't know, brethren. As I stated, we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. But the bottom line of these two dreams is this. These dreams are warnings from God that I have to share with you about the future. Those are 3 dreams about the dollar's collapse, about inflation. And that's not just regular inflation, brethren. That's hyperinflation for food to get that expensive. So this is why I have been praying a lot. And this is also why I feel released to share with you. Now, since I have always lived in America, and I have not witnessed a true currency crisis, and because most of you have not either, there is really no way that we can understand or fathom how bad a currency crisis can affect us. There's no way that we can know this. But brethren, I do believe that judgment is raging over this land and this world. And I do believe that God wants me to warn all of you that the greatest depression in history is upon us. And we've only experienced phase 1 up to this point. Act 1 is all that we have seen of a many-phased event. There's going to be several phases of this thing. We've only seen one of them. And right now, we're in intermission. So I understand that it is not easy for most of us to know what to expect. And that is why I believe God gave me these dreams to share with you. But, brethren, it does not stop there. And up to this point, I've just given you a surface picture of what's coming. And from this point on, I want to share with you what God has revealed to me as I have been seeking Him in prayer. And right now, brethren, this audio message is about to get very serious. When I was seeking God about these three dreams, I said, God, please explain to me what they mean. Please explain to me how bad it's going to get. Show me, God. Show me with your spirit. Show me with your wisdom. Show me with your understanding and your insight. Folks, I have bombarded heaven asking them these things. In the remaining minutes of this audio, brethren, as you hear what I have to share, some of you may actually become agitated, and some of you may become fearful. Hopefully, many of you will be moved. Moved towards God and towards His mercy. And hopefully, lives will be changed and hearts will be touched. Several nights ago, I was up very, very late and part of this prayer marathon that I've been doing, seeking God over this matter. I was up very late and I asked Him, God, how do I present this message? How do I communicate with the people about these dreams and what's coming? I kept asking Him, folks. And finally, it got very, very late and I went to bed. But after a few hours, I was awakened, and it was the Holy Spirit of God that woke me up. And as I awoke, I found myself overwhelmed with an intense sorrow that I could not explain. And I thought to myself, God, what are you trying to say to me? And then I noticed that my face was wet. And then I reached up and I touched my eyes. I felt my eyes, and I realized that I had been weeping in my sleep. I had tears that were coming out in my sleep, so I woke up actually weeping. So as I lied there, I had a deep, deep sorrow on me, and I knew that it was God trying to say something. And I did not need to have God tell me about tears. I had the tears. It was a very intense moment. God's anointing was all over me as I laid there. But it was not an anointing of joy. It was a mantle of sorrow. It was like a cloud of grief that was over me. And it wasn't a dark or a depressing grief, but a lamenting. And then I could hear God speaking to me in my spirit. When I went to sleep, I said, God, tell me what to tell the people. So as I laid there, I started hearing Him whisper to me what He wanted me to say to you. And this is what He said, brethren. And I'm paraphrasing. But He said, the voice of the Holy Spirit desires to have a visitation with all of you. He desires that you would hear His voice. He desires that those of you that would hear would also take heed and take action. God wants action from all of you, brethren. Now, heeding the voice of God means that you have to do changes in your life. And changes are necessary for most of you that are listening. They are, brethren. You know they are. But God's love and compassion for you is desiring these changes so that you can be ready. Because, my friends, not enough people are ready. Not enough people understand. And not enough people realize just how bad it's going to be. And in the remaining minutes of this audio, I'm going to try to communicate with you just how urgent the remaining time is. I'm going to try to communicate just how intense and how bad it's going to get. Now, will my brush paint an accurate portrait? I don't know, but I'm going to try. So my friends, please listen and hearken to these words. And I must be clear on something. Aside from those dreams that I had, one thing that I do know, through the Spirit of God, one thing I do know, brethren, the future is going to change for all of you that are listening. The business as usual lifestyle that most of us know, it's going to become a thing of the past. In my spirit, I know this, brethren. This knowledge screams from the inside of me. Words cannot justify how this warning wants to explode from the inside of me. It's like a faucet, and when God wants to warn, He makes a visitation. There was a man who lived long ago, and his life is recorded for us in the Scriptures. His name, the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah had a visitation. God placed his burning words inside of Jeremiah's bones. And Jeremiah could not shake it. There was even one time Jeremiah wanted to quit, but he could not. Because he knew he had to warn, and he knew that the people had to know. And he knew that if he didn't, the words of God would burn in his heart and in his bones. And that burning would not stop unless Jeremiah spoke the oracles and the warning of God. But the people wouldn't listen. They made fun of him. They mocked him and they mistreated him. But still, he had his heavenly mandate. Warn the people. Tell them what's coming. And he did. For years he did it. For decades he did it. And finally, it happened. It arrived. And the day it happened was just like any other day. The people didn't see it coming. The people were not prepared. The people were not ready. And it came. Sudden destruction. The strong men came. The city was under siege, and now blood was spilling on the streets that on the day before was a market selling bread. It had arrived, the judging hand of God. And Jeremiah watched it happen in horror, my friends. And even though he warned about it, and even though he was so close to God that he heard the voice of God talking to him in his spirit, and even though he heard the things that were coming, even though he wept as he tried to warn the people, when it actually happened, Jeremiah was in absolute terror. The view was overwhelming. The things he saw made him sick. The things he saw made him throw up. It caused his very bosom to empty. The things he saw caused him to howl, to weep, to lament. He wept rivers and rivers of tears because of what he saw. My friends, I was praying to God Almighty. And God said, lament. The things that are coming to the land will cause mothers and fathers and old men and young to howl, to cry out, and to lament. Such horrible things are coming, my friends. Things that should only be in fables, in folklore, in fiction, and in nightmares. But these things are going to make a visitation to your land, to your village, and to your town. So how do I warn? How do I get you to realize these things? God said, use the scriptures. Tell them what Jeremiah saw. Because once again, these things are going to visit them. So that is what I'm going to do, brethren. When the destruction arrived in Israel, Jeremiah recorded it. It became his diary. And he wrote down the horror. He wrote down the terror that he saw. He wrote down the heartache that he saw. And it became the Book of Lamentations. 5 chapters of some of the saddest chronicle in the scriptures. Lamentations. And hear this, my friends. This is what God said. Lamentations. The things recorded in there, in that book, are going to visit America. Now, if you're a patriotic one, and if you wave your flag of red, white, and blue, I'm sorry. I have some sad news for you. The land that you admire has seen better days, and unfortunately is about to be in intensive care for years. Do I hate America? No, I grieve for America. The land of America, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, has lost her honey pot, and her milk is gone. America's candle has expired, and it is now full of every foul spirit and a hateful bird, and it has become the dwelling place of devils. Its spiritual leaders have converted their church properties into campuses that no longer heal hungry souls, but instead massage egos and self-esteem. The Christian heritage of America that birthed the classic sermons of fire and brimstone, which caused men to tremble and quake in Holy Spirit conviction, has been diluted with a form of God that has been castrated. And today's popular American gospel has turned the holy word of God, the scriptures, into a book of spells. And as I listen to the false teachers on TV giving their teachings on how we can demand God to do our bidding for wealth and financial anointing, the pulpits have turned into a ceremony where warlocks are teaching witchcraft to those with itching ears. The message of the gospel has been hijacked, sifted, diluted, and turned into an impotent, anemic session that feeds carnal souls whose belly is their God and whose glory is their shame. The shame of sin, that condition that had people running to the altar begging God to wash away. That shame of sin that had people clinging to the old rugged cross has now become an accepted and tolerated garment that people are told to ignore and not judge. Don't examine yourself, reward yourself. So today, my friends, in this broadcast, in this sermon, I have a message. I have a burning message to America and to her residents. And this message is also to her neighbors and to the world. America, you, the land that once prided itself in godly heritage, America, the fear of God is no longer in you. America, your princes, your diplomats, your citizens, your kings have turned their backs on God and not their faces. And now it has been determined that the blade of God, His sword, shall make its visitation upon the land. Do I say this with glee, folks? No. 1,000 times, no. I say this with heartache, with grief. When I had my vision of the Statue of Liberty being beheaded last February, I saw the hand of God smite the land. And it was not Satan that did it. It was not the Muslims or the elite. It was God Himself that did it. Now, this does not mean that God does not use humans as His agents of judgment, because He does. God will very often raise up enemies to judge His people. But overall, it is God's sovereignty that decides this. So, when I had this vision, I did not realize just how heavenly ordained that vision was. And just recently, God showed me that the scriptures confirmed my vision. And I want to show a passage to all of you that talk about this. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if you have your Bible, please turn there, because I want you to see it. When I was on Rick Wiles just last week, I shared this scripture, but I did not really talk about it much. And I want to show this to you, and I want to say some things. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now go to verse 39 and look what it says. And this is the Lord God Almighty talking right here in this verse, brethren. Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, and here it is, folks, look what it says right here. If I whet, that means if I sharpen, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. My friends, please hear me when I say God is sharpening His sword right now, this very day. Why? Jeremiah 18 tells us. And if you can, please go there. Jeremiah chapter 18. And as I read this, please keep America in mind. Jeremiah 18 verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. See, God right here is saying He is the King of Kings over all the nations of the world. And He can pluck up nations, or He can pull them down and destroy them. So the instant He speaks about a nation, verse 8, If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Verse 9. In the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, and look at this, folks, verse 10. If it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Over 200 years ago, America began with a godly heritage. In God we trust. God bless America was the motto that was on the mouths of so many pioneers and people who came here with a dream of religious freedom to worship their God. We were founded on that. But now, folks, America has exceeded her benefits. And also, this world has exceeded her benefits. America, your cup of iniquity is full. It is overflowing. It has been determined that God is going to smite this land with His glittering sword that He is sharpening right now. How bad is it going to get? What sort of things are we going to see? I would like to share those things right now. So my friends, brethren, please, please, please have your Bibles and take notes with what I'm about to show you. You will get the most benefit if you read the verses that I'm going to show you. And also have your pen and paper. Now, right now, please turn to the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. It's found between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Many people have not read this small book, but it is five chapters of anguish, sorrow, many tears, but also of hope. Now, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit revealed that there are things written in the book of Lamentations that are coming to America. Now, I must qualify that statement because not every single thing in Lamentations is coming to America, but many things recorded in there are coming to America. And I'm going to share some of them with you right now. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over some verses, but please read this book on your own when we're done with America's judgment in mind, or possibly even your country's judgment in mind. Because in addition to America being judged, there are many other countries in the West that are going to be judged. Canada, you're there right with us. You're our brother, I'm sorry to say, but the judgment is going to also hit you. And also nations in Europe and the West, Australia. I don't think I have to convince many Australians that God is on the move with judgment on your land. It's very obvious with the droughts and the weather that you're having. God's trying to get the attention of people down there. Now, again, when we read these verses in Lamentations, please keep America's judgment in mind. When we read it, and also when you read it to yourself, those verses will leap off of the pages when you see the things I'm going to show you. Now, let's start with verse 1. Are you there, folks? The book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start there. How does the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow? And I want to focus on that sentence right there. How is she become a widow? She that was great among the nations. America, that once great lighthouse to the world, the nation that provided the liberators to the prisoners in World War II, is fading. Her power, her might, and her strength was in her citizens who had the fear of God. She had a culture that prized integrity and honor. But now? Now America gorges herself with carnality and fornication. She teaches her young ones that homosexuality is progressive nobility. And she scorns the commandments of God with pride. And with boldness, she offers her religious sacrament to her deity. What deity is that? The God of self. Her sacrament? Her murdered unborn children. And because of these crimes to the God of heaven, look what the rest of verse 1 says. The princes among the provinces, the princes of the world, America, how she has become a tributary. That means how she has become a slave. America, you are now a slave to the world. And brethren, in judgment, it has been declared that America, which in times past had been the land of the free, will in your future, in the very near future, tighten the noose on liberty, and your freedom will be no more. And you may say, well, I'm a patriot. I will fight for my freedom. Go ahead. The police state's coming, whether you fight it or not. But my friends, this coming change is judgment for the sins of the land. This is God's chastisement. How foolish is it for a child to resist the discipline of a loving parent? No, 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 brethren. It will arrive. Mercy may delay it for a season, but it is coming. Martial law is coming. The police state and tyranny is coming. It's all a part of the big picture of Bible prophecy. It is going to arrive. Looking at verse 2. She weeps sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. America weeps in the night and has tears. America's citizens shall weep in the night and have tears. Among all her lovers, and she has nobody, none to comfort her. And all of her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they are become her enemies. When America falls, will the world be sad for us? Do you really think they will? When Americans are in their houses coast to coast, or in their cars, or in the street, and they're weeping over the fall of America, will the other nations feel sorry for us? Are you kidding? This world is weary with American arrogance. The bully of the world telling them all how it's going to be, constantly invading nations and forcing regime changes with puppet governments. America has done these crimes. America monetizing our debt, printing trillions out of thin air, diluting the world's investment in our dollar. No, my friends, this world has had enough of us. And when the thud of America hits the ground, sadly, the other sound that you will hear from the other nations will be cheers and jeers. I expect no mercy from abroad. They're going to look the other way. Look at verse 4. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none came to the feast. Let's put America in there. The ways of America mourn because none came to her festivals and her celebrations. The 4th of July party will not have many guests arriving because they're going to be occupied with their grief and sorrow. All her gates are desolate. All of America's gates are desolate. Ghost Town America coming to a neighborhood near you, and indeed has already begun. Desolate gates, my friends. And already America's shipping ports are barren. They're barren of people, and they're barren of workers. They are overcrowded with mammon, with material things, with cars that people can no longer afford. But her gates are desolate, and we have only begun. Verse 5. Her adversaries are chief, and her enemies prosper. Why is that? It's because haughty America forgot the blessing of God, and unfortunately, the hour of her visitation. And she threw her heritage into the wind, and it returned void. And now, the historical enemy of America, China, is now the chief. And now, she prospers. The adversary of America now prospers.
But Nathan, why is that?
Well, look at the rest of verse 5. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. And now her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. This is coming, folks. A job with a shackle to the Chinese. They're going to be deciding our fate. The days are approaching. And these changes are also going to be through oppressors, through tyrants, through overzealous state secret police. When America falls, brethren, the beast is going to rise. The infrastructure of the beast is going to rise. The 10 horns of the beast, the 10 unions. One of the horns is almost complete in Europe. The European Union is almost finished with their European Union finally approving the Lisbon Treaty. And it has just been announced. Their constitution, which is going to take over the land, is going to take away sovereignty from many nations in Europe. And it has also been revealed that in Europe, they're going to have the European police force. that would be able to go across borders and squelch civil unrest. The martial law police is coming to you, my European friends, my brothers and sisters. It's coming there. And they have their police force ready to go. And here in America, after the dollar crashes, we're going to have the North American Union as well. We will see the rise of the union here, the North American Union. And in addition to that, my friends, here's the sad part. We will also see the rise of the North American police force, because these unions that are forming throughout the world are templates written by the globalists, by the Rockefellers and the CFR. That template is coming to America. Tyrants will be in the street, placing chains and oppression on the citizens. It's coming, brethren. I'm sad to say it, but when it arrives, they're not going to care about you, and they're not going to care about your religion. They're not going to care about your Christianity and your rights. They're not going to care about your patriotism. All they're going to care about is making you listen and obey them. Her children, verse 5, her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Verse 6, and from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. From the daughter of England, America, all of your beauty is departed. America's cities will and already are becoming crime-infested ghettos right now, brethren. America's factories and warehouses will no longer have commercial activity, but they will instead be dwellings of the homeless. Broken windows are going to replace what you see today, and by the way, has already begun. Drive through the streets of Detroit, in Ohio, in Philadelphia, in California, in Arizona. The warehouses are abandoned. Her beauty has departed. Indeed, the judgment is already raging over this land. As I was praying, preparing for this message, I had a vision. And I saw people running in the streets. I heard gunfire. I heard screams. I heard weeping. And I saw hatred. It was every man for himself. It was Lord of the Flies coming to a city near you. Yuppie entitlements will matter no more. It will be survival of the fittest and anarchy from very evil people and very angry mobs. Brethren, the days are coming of judgment. It's not going to be pretty. Lamentations is coming to America. And how are we going to cope? How are you going to cope? Are you sitting in your comfortable chair right now, undecided of these things? And while you're undecided, my friend, be forewarned. If you are undecided in the warning vision, great travail may visit. I say this with regret, but it could, my friends. Verse 8, instead of the word Jerusalem, I'm going to substitute America. Now, I'm not changing scriptures when I do this. I'm illustrating a word picture. Okay, folks? That's the purpose of doing this. Just to illustrate what happened to Jerusalem is going to repeat itself in history, and that's going to be a mirror of what we're going to be seeing. Verse 8, again substituting America. America has grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. And all that honor her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sighed and turned backwards. Because they saw her nakedness, folks. And how true is this? How literal is this for America? Chastity and modesty. Chastity and modesty are now virtues that are scorned and mocked by America. And sadly, folks, her young people are virgins no more. But they have become harlots and perverts and sodomites, where now it has become acceptable for the young people to parade their nakedness without shame on their cell phones and on their social websites to the world. And then the preachers say, don't judge. But now God will judge. Verse 9, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end. Or in other words, she did not consider her destiny. Am I being unkind when I say these things, brethren? God said her filthiness is in her skirts. America, you did not care for the word of God or his statutes. You cared not that you sowed into your flesh, and now you will meet your bitter end. And look at the rest of verse 9. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. And the New King James Version says, And hear this, my friends. Hear these words. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. And she had no comforter. And you know what this means, folks? America will soon collapse. And when it happens, her people, moms, dads, the rich, the poor, will have no one to comfort them. There's going to be panic. There's going to be terror. There's going to be great fear, but no comfort. And what happens when you mix great hysteria and no hope? Well, then the destroyer comes, the serpent comes, and the shadows come. And they arrive with their deceptions and their accusations. And the result? And why am I trying to equip you now, brethren? Why am I pleading with you to become prepared spiritually? And why do I cry from the housetops and shout from the streets to get your house in order and become strong and equipped in your hope on the rock of Jesus? Why do I say this, folks? Why this warning? Because when the days arrive and there is no comforter for the unprepared, what will they do? And I ask that with sincerity, folks. What will those people do? What can they do? And many, many people will turn to the ultimate remedy of suicide, to murder-suicide. We're going to see hundreds. We're going to see thousands of fathers killing their families. We're going to see horror and terror and hear the stories that mothers killed their babies because they could not deal with what was coming, my friends. I awoke weeping. I tasted just a glimpse. These days are coming. And you might be asking, Nathan, why would God allow this? Why would God allow this? This is horrible. Well, look at verse 10. Verse 10, folks. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. Now, this was written about Jerusalem's invaders, the adversary. But we also have an adversary. Satan, he's attacking the church right now with his doctrines of demons. And he has his filthy cloven hooves on some buildings called churches. Excuse me, I mean campuses. And who is running these assemblies? Who attends these gatherings? Is it the people of God that seek his presence? No. Look at verse 10, folks. She has seen that the heathen entered her sanctuary. And now in most churches, there's no hell. There's no blood of Christ. There's no encounter with God's power. There's no healing of men's hearts and minds. And as a result, the heathen are behind the pulpits. And the heathen populate the gatherings, the services. And as a result, God has left the building and Ichabod has arrived. This is why the judgment is coming, folks. Because America lost her glory and threw away her heritage. Verse 11. All her people sigh. They seek bread. People seek bread. The manna of God wasn't good enough. So now America, now your citizens are going to be very hungry. And in my vision, brethren, when I saw how expensive food was, it was inflated 13 to 14 times. Folks, hear me. Please hear me. Food is going to become very, very expensive. And how are people going to pay for it? How can we really pay for it when it's that expensive? Well, look at the rest of verse 11. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve their souls. The New King James says they have given their valuables just for food. This means jewelry, silver, gold, or anything else. What? You want some of my stored food? Well, that's a nice looking wedding ring you got there on your finger. You think this won't happen, folks? The dollar's going to be toast. Worthless wallpaper. It has been ordained. America has sealed her fate. And how will parents deal with this when they go to the store for bread, but a loaf of bread is $50? How, my friends? What are daddies going to do? What are mothers going to do? What are hungry children going to do? Jeremiah saw these things happen. His response? Did he say, oh boy, finally doom has arrived? Well, look at verse 16, my friends. Look what Jeremiah said. For these things I weep, Mine eyes runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Jeremiah wept, and he wept, and he wept some more, because he saw that the people didn't listen to him, and now they were paying the price. And look how he continues to describe how horrible it was. Look at verse 20. Behold, O Lord, I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me. He was in distress. The prophet who prophesied 40 years, surely he was close enough to God that he was unfazed by these scenes. Right, folks? No. He says, I am in distress. What did Brother David Wilkerson say when he gave his urgent warning in March of this year? He said, even the godliest among us will be shaken. It doesn't matter where we are with God, folks. It's going to be horrible when it arrives. And my friends, if you think that you can survive these things coming with your own strength, you're mistaken. Look what Jeremiah said. Lord, my bowels are troubled. That needs no explanation. His breakfast went right through him, a sign of intense stress and fear. And how bad would the sadness be? God said, great lamenting is coming to America. Now, please go to chapter 2. I want to show you how horrible the scene was for him and his response. Chapter 2, verse 11. Mine eyes do fail with tears. There's going to be much weeping over the land, my friends. My bowels are troubled. There it is again. My liver, my bile is poured out on the earth. Now, why was Jeremiah so upset? He knew it was coming, but it was so painful to actually witness. And look at this, folks. Look at this horrible, horrible description that Jeremiah gives us. Moving on in verse 11. For the destruction of the daughter of my people. He saw crying mothers howling and having no comfort. And look what it says. Because the children and the sucklings, the infants and the little babies, they swoon, which means they faint in the streets of the city. Babies and children fainting. And when he saw it, he wept. Jump down to verse 22, brethren. Chapter 2, verse 22. And look at the very last sentence. Those that I have swaddled and brought up. This is talking about babies that he held in his arms, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Babies that I held in my arms. Babies that I saw grow up. Little babies that I saw grow older and older. The enemy has consumed. Jeremiah knew these children. He knew these mothers. He knew these families. And it tore his heart out. It tore out his heart, folks. And go back to verse 12 now, because I want to finish showing you something. Verse 12, the children are going to be starving. And because they're hungry and they're starving, they say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they fainted as the wounded in the streets of the city. Mama, I'm hungry. Where's the food? Mama, my tummy hurts. Please, Mom, Dad, what are we going to eat? Folks, how do you rationalize with a starving child? How? They swoon, they faint, wounded in the streets. And here's the tragic part. The end of verse 12, brethren. A very tragic scene. And when their soul is poured out, you know what that means? When their life is poured out. When their life ends in their mother's bosom. The babies' lives ending in the arms of their wailing mothers. They died having no food. Is there any more tragic image than that, my friends? And Jeremiah witnessed it. He saw the judgment of God. And he saw all of this horror. He saw the howling of mothers holding their babies in their arms, crying out with no comfort. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And which soul of man is able to comfort himself in such a situation? None, my friends, none. That is why now we must do our part to prepare for this. When I had my vision of Lady Liberty being decapitated, God shared with me something that I was to tell everyone. And I've said this before. A lot of you have heard me say this. But I want to say it again. God said, tell mothers and fathers to go into their chamber and to cry for the protection of their young children, of their young ones, and lift them up. And also pray this, that you are not separated from your children. And brethren, when God said this to me, I was very overcome and very overwhelmed. But I have been doing this. I have been on my knees for hours since the day God shared that with me. I've been doing it, brethren. My friends, God said Lamentations is coming to America. And I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He warns, it's timeless. Now please go to verse 19. And I want to ask you to highlight this verse. Mark this verse. Remember this verse, folks. Please remember this. Now, when God told me to share that with you, I wasn't aware that that instruction was also in the Scriptures. Look what this says right here in verse 19, brethren. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Now watch this, brethren. Lift up thy hands to Him for the life of thy young children. Lift them up, brethren. Lift up your babies to the throne room that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Wow. Parents, have you been lifting up your child? If you've never heard me say this before and this is the first time, I challenge you. I admonish you. Please get into the habit of lifting up your babies to the throne room. Because, brethren, Lamentations is coming to this land. And folks, it's time for the remnant of God to learn what it means to bombard heaven. And it's time now to learn to go before God and to have a death grip on the horns of the altar and saying, God, I'm not leaving this place. God, please hear my cry. God, please protect my babies. Protect my children. I lift them up to you. My friends, is the prayer closet foreign to you? Is a bended knee a stranger to you? Let them become your friend. Nathan, these things you're sharing with me are horrible. Nathan, they're upsetting. I know. I know they are, my friends. That's why I'm telling you now that we must get prepared in the throne room of God. And so many of you have not learned to do this, my friends. God has made this very clear. Tell them the time is running out. The clock is ticking. These days are upon us. The days of status quo Christianity, mediocrity, lackadaisical, complacency are behind us, my friends. It's over. How bad is the scene going to get when the collapse arrives? Chapter 2, verse 21. The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Brethren, there's going to be chaos on the streets of America. And some places are going to be worse than others. But here is the sad truth, folks. Eventually, there will be a body count. And as the divine judgment unfolds, the sword will eventually arrive. The sword judgment, attackers, war, violence, fallen comrades. Will it be from without? Will there be invaders that come into this country? Many of you have seen these things in visions. Or will it be from within? Will it be from tyrants? Brethren, I've seen visions of the police state. And I believe that eventually, after the fall of America, these days are going to be here. The Stasi army is going to be patrolling the streets. Canada, America, Mexico. And in addition to that, there is going to be chaos. There's going to be anarchy. Armed thugs. Remember Katrina? Do you remember the stories of the criminals who gave no regard to people's possessions? And they went around in mayhem and mistreated their neighbors. How bad is it going to be? Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, brethren. Some people will not be able to deal with it. That they will choose suicide. Or actually do a suicide by cop. Or hope for death rather than to try to survive the mayhem and the starvation. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. And they that are slain with the sword are better than they which are slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. And this is one reason that I stress over and over, my friends. Please, folks, do what you need to do to prepare and save extra food and start now. When the dollar collapse arrives, it may be fast. At first, it may be slow, but when they finally decide to change it over, it could be very fast. One day you'll go to bed normal, and the next day there's going to be chaos in the streets. Now, to the doubter that may be listening and say, that would never happen to America or Canada or my country here in Europe or any other place. That's just too horrible. That would never happen. I ask you this question, my friends. Why do you think that it could never happen? Why? What concrete affirmation do you have to say such things? Are you saying because the government would not let it happen? Or we're too big to fail? Is that what you think? Well, did you know that many others throughout history have had the same attitude? Including this diary of the fall of Jerusalem. They even had that attitude. Look at verse 12 in chapter 4. Go there, brethren. I want to show you the attitude that they had. Chapter 4, verse 12. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will never fall. Or America will never fall. We'll be around forever. Really? Did you know that most of history's empires have lasted a little over 200 years and that's it? And how old is America, my friends? And what will signal the end of her glory? Now, as I'm giving this warning, I want to be clear and I also want it to be on record. I am not saying that America will cease to exist. But what I am saying, at this point, her glory is behind her. And our children are going to see a very different America in their future indeed. Now look at this, folks. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 2. And tell me that this is not happening already. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. What's the inheritance of America? Resources, land, national forests. What about private inheritance? In the stock market, in real estate, strangers from overseas are grabbing up American companies right now. This is happening, folks. There's a fire sale happening right now, and indeed, that fire sale is going to be stoked with more objects to sell. Skyscrapers, buildings, shopping malls, commercial properties. They're going bankrupt right now, and overseas enemies from China are going to buy these things up. Look at verse 2 again. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. And look at the next part, folks. Our houses are given to aliens. Aliens from other countries. People that don't live here. And this is already happening. People from other countries are coming to America and buying up all the real estate. And I don't have to convince most of you of this, but much more of it is coming. Much more dislocations and foreclosures and lost homes are coming. This is just the beginning. And folks, let me throw this in. I have a question for you. Is your car paid off? Is it? I've been screaming this for over a year. Pay off your car. Why? Because when you lose your house, you're going to need your car to get places. Or, God forbid, you might end up living in your car. And you don't want your car being repossessed. That's a side note, brethren. But I believe it's a word of wisdom. Pay off your car or buy a cheaper car that's already paid off. But get rid of that car payment, because in the days ahead, it may become very hard to continue servicing your car payment. Now, what are all the invaders and the strangers and the aliens going to buy up? What are they going to take over? Here's the answer. Everything. Look at verse 4. We drink our water for money. Water costs money. Of course, that's already begun. But consider those of you with wells. Are we going to have to pay for that as well? I've heard that there's plans for that coming, for tax revenue. How soon till that happens? The rest of verse 4, our wood is sold to us. Now, many people pay for wood now, but this is showing that all of our possessions are gone. People that had their own property that could go out and chop down a tree for their own wood are going to lose their properties. That's what that means. And it also means that resources that we take for granted will be taken away. Loss of freedom's coming, brethren. No food, tyranny, the sword. Now, things are going to become so expensive that many people are just going to work just to get enough money for food. Look at verse 5. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and we have no rest. So they were slaves. And in the future, how many third world Americans will only have time to work for a small pittance to get food? How many, folks? How many third world Americans will there be struggling to get enough food to feed themselves and having no energy for anything else? Always working for slave wages, always tired. Verse 5, we labor and we have no rest. When people go looking for food, will there be roadblocks? Will there be checkpoints? Will there be tyrant soldiers and secret police patrolling, not allowing people to freely move about, throwing curfews all over everyone? Look at verse 9. We got our bread with the peril, which means at the risk of our lives. Just being outside, trying to get food, but worried about being caught. What would cause that? What sort of tyranny would cause rules to be so strict that you can't even go out to look for food? By the way, regarding this, not being able to freely move about, go back to chapter 4. I want to show you something, because it also speaks of this. Chapter 4, verse 18. Look what it says. They hunt our steps. Or the New King James Version says, they track our steps so that we cannot go into the streets. Folks, this is police state right here. And this sounds like the Nazi neighbor tattletale squads are going to be out there. And let's finish reading verse 18. For our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. Our end has come. And with that, brethren, I'm going to stop this study of Lamentations, but I invite you to read it yourself. Read the entire book. The Holy Spirit said, great lament is coming to the land. Tell the people. Tell them that sadness, wailing, sorrow, and heartbreak is coming. So what are we supposed to do? When God said this to me, brethren, I was heartbroken myself. I was travailing myself. And of course, nowhere near what Jeremiah felt. But as I was praying, I said, God, is there no hope? What are we to do? How can any man stand in your judgment? How can we, God? And folks, God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, He answered my question. Does the judgment mean no hope? No. God said, go to chapter 3 in Lamentations, and I want to show you some things. So folks, please go there, because I'm going to show you some good news and some hope. I'm not going to leave you hanging with just horror and sadness. Lamentations 3, verse 31. Please go there, brethren. Don't be left with no hope. I want you to see these verses here. Lamentations 3, 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though He cause grief, yet He will have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. Even though God causes the judgment and all of this sorrow, He still has compassion and He has mercies. Verse 33. For He does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. My friends, He loves you. Now some people may hear this message and say, man, no fair, God. God sounds mean here. And folks, God does not want you to be chastised. He gave us His law. He gave us His statutes. We're the ones that have failed. He does not afflict us willingly. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to send grief. We're the ones that sin, folks. Move up to verse 39 in chapter 3. Wherefore does a living man complain? Does a man complain for the punishment of his sins? Should we complain about this, folks? It's the sins that we've committed. Do we have the right to complain about it? About God's chastisement? Look at verse 40. Verse 40, folks. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Verse 41. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. My friends, God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to realize that He's merciful. How many of you have ever heard the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? It's a great hymn. It's also a worship song. steadfast love. Some of the key words for that song are found in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. God is faithful. His mercies are there waiting for us, always. But it's up to us to let Him become our shelter. It's up to us to discover who He is. I asked God, what do we do? These things are fearful. They're scary. What do we do? And God said, I am. I am. Yes, God, You are the great I am. God said, I am Your portion. I am the great I am that Moses met. And folks, most people do not know God at this level. But the remnant needs to climb their mountain and meet God there. The remnant is not a title. The remnant is not a proclamation that we say with our voices or confess to our friends. The remnant is not knowledge. The remnant is a lifestyle. The remnant is seeking and discovering and finding and meeting Him who is our portion, and knowing that He is our portion. The portion of what? The portion of manna from heaven. The portion of peace. The portion of joy. His portion of abounding in hope. His portion of resting during a storm, during the coming storm, during the crash that is approaching. God is our portion, and we must, as remnant, be anchored in Him, standing on Him, the rock of our salvation, standing on Him, the rock of our deliverance, standing on Him, our shelter, our rest, our peace. Because during calamity, my friends, during the plague, and during devastation, and during hunger, we must discover that He is our portion. My friends, you must discover that He is your portion. And that is not accomplished by just listening to my words. That is not accomplished by just listening to this audio. This is accomplished on your knees, my friends, for a while. Not just 5 minutes, not just 10 minutes. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, couldn't you pray with me just 1 hour? My friends, do you spend time with Him? And if you do not, you will not discover your portion. Period. Great calamity is approaching. Destruction. Starvation. It is upon us. It's upon this entire world, my friends. Europe, you're not in the clear. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, you're included in what's coming. And even though Lamentations is indeed sad, God included hope there. His love and His mercy is available today. It's available tomorrow. And every morning that the sun rises, and as long as you have breath, His mercy is available for you. My friend, please do not be caught unaware. Please do not be caught unprepared. Please discover God as your portion. Show your family that He's their portion. Show your children that He's their portion. Psalms 91 is coming, brethren, and we're either going to live it or we're not. But right now is where we need to be discovering it. Heavenly Father, a hard message indeed. But God, may Your Spirit touch every person listening. Show them that You are the great I am, and that You are the portion that can touch them and reach down with a hand of mercy and pull them up to their feet, to look up to You in confidence, and to be able to stand on You, the rock of their deliverance. God, teach all of us the remnant. Teach all of us, God, that in You is life, and in You is deliverance. Through You, God, we will weather these things. God, let us have the faith to know that it is You that will deliver us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.